soul is young.
It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings at this time, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, the editor and the publisher of The Timberjates, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, welcome back. Good to talk to you again.
Well, thanks, Heidi. Happy to be here.
So let's start talking about some of the big stories in your region. Let's talk about Ely. And, you know, we're way past the elections, but there's some news there.
Well, there is. You know, I think we had talked about this actually right after the November election, the fact that Chuck Novak, who had been running ostensibly unopposed for mayor again, he ended up being defeated by a candidate who had filed for the seat back in the summer. And then shortly after that had said he didn't want the job. He withdrew from the race, but it was too late to get his name off the ballot. And so, but when the votes were tallied, the guy who didn't want the job, it was the one who won the election by about 125 votes. And that left sort of a quandary. I mean, the guy thought about it for a while and then finally said, no, I don't want the job. So it left a vacancy for the mayor's position. And when the council met for the first time this year, they decided to deal with the vacancy. And it was pretty clear going in that they had already made up their minds that they were going to put Chuck Novak back in that position. And Mr. Novak did appear at the meeting in the audience. And the fellow, the acting mayor who brought that meeting to order, claimed he couldn't find the gavel. But anyway, they proceeded with the meeting. And one of the first orders of business was to appoint an interim mayor, and the motion was made and passed to appoint Chuck Novak as the interim mayor. And they recessed for a few minutes. They went back into the mayor's office, and they all returned with Chuck Novak wearing a tie, which he hadn't been wearing coming in. And lo and behold, he had the gavel in his hand. So apparently everything was back the way they had anticipated or wanted. And they carried on with the meeting with Mr. Novak leading the charge. So what's interesting is that given the process, I mean, they did declare the vacancy and establish that there will be a special election held. But depending on how things work out, particularly depending on whether or not there's a primary, Chuck Novak could be in that position as interim mayor until the middle of August. So that's a fairly extended stint as interim mayor. At this point, we're just going to watch and see whether or not there's a primary. And if there is, it looks like we'll be reporting on Chuck Novak as mayor of Ely for several months yet to come. So kind of a surprise turn of events here. And we'll see. This isn't the first time that that Chuck Novak's actually been able to sort of come back. Twice before, he has lost his bid for mayor, only to return and be elected again. So I guess this is actually the third time now that he's had a bit of a comeback. So we'll see. Maybe this one, he may run again. So he still could continue to be mayor for years to come.
So anyone listening from Ely, though, that sounds like there's an opportunity if you might be interested in becoming the mayor of Ely to, even though we're out of election season, you could do that.
Yes, yes, and there already has been one announcement. Roger Scraba, who has been mayor in the past, he has announced that he is planning to file, and there's certainly rumors of one or two other possibilities. So I suspect anytime there's a political race in Ely, they get to be pretty hotly contested. So.
Well, let's move on to a good news story. Good news for people who need to heat their houses, which is everybody, especially in northern Minnesota, but good for a local business. Tell us about a new tax credit and how it's affecting Lampa manufacturing.
Right. Well, this was a tax credit that was actually part of that COVID relief package, which was passed back in December in Washington. And as part of that, we got our $600 stimulus checks, but in some of the other pages, many pages in that bill, was tucked away a tax credit of up to 26% off the cost of purchase and installation of a wood furnace, but it's a wood furnace that has to meet the 2020 EPA emission standards, which were very strict. And at this point, only one company has actually fully met that standard. And there might be one other that's partially met that might still qualify for this. But in either case, one of the two is Lampa Manufacturing, based here in Tower. And this is really interesting because they've been very busy, very busy. But it's mostly been on the sale of their sauna stove. They also make a very top quality sauna stove, and actually a number of different styles of sauna stoves. But they had their sales of their wood furnaces had actually been kind of slow. And, you know, they're a high price item. I mean, it takes a lot to build a furnace. And these furnaces are designed to actually sit in your basement. They would tie into your home's forced air system. And so, they're a big unit in order to heat a big house. And they're a little bit, they're spendy, especially somebody who's looking to heat wood. They're generally a little more price sensitive, than some other folks might be. So, I think that was a bit of a lift for folks. These things, units sell for about $5,700. But now with this tax credit, that's going to knock about $1,500 off the price of one of those units. Plus it also, knocks off some of the price of your installation costs. So this is going to be a significant development. At the same time, Lampa Manufacturing has begun offering financing plans. So between these two developments, the company is very hopeful that they're going to see a substantial increase in sales of their wood furnaces. And that should further boost business. And I know they're growing leaps and bounds. I hired, I think, 5 new employees there back in September. And assuming that things go as they expect with these wood furnaces and this new tax credit, there certainly may be the opportunity for additional growth.
Let's move on to another story. Help us understand this announcement that came from Minnesota Power, a bold future for them, it sounds like.
It really is. It's kind of amazing, really, the sort of sea change that's taken place over the last, 10 years or so with Minnesota Power. They had been, I think, initially sort of reluctant about the switch over to renewable sources of power. They were skeptical of wind and other alternative sources of power. And they were very, heavily dependent on coal. And the company has really kind of taken the lead in Minnesota among private investor-owned utilities in terms of making the switch now. In recent years, they've really jumped full square onto wind. They've been implementing, or building more and more wind facilities and contracting with other wind facilities. And they've got a good agreement in place with the Manitoba Hydro to help kind of fill in, to have that sort of constant supply of electricity when, the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining. And they've announced this week that they have a new integrated resource plan, which they plan to present to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission on February 1st, that calls for them to be generating 70% of the power they produce by renewable energy by 2030. So that's only 9 years away. And they would completely phase out coal. And this was a company that was very coal dependent. They plan to completely phase out coal by 2035. So that's not very far away. That's 14 years. And, that's just almost no time at all, especially when you're looking at these types of transitions in a major company. And they say by 2050, they want to be generating 100% of their electric power from entirely carbon-free methods. And, they were the first Minnesota utility to reach the 50% renewable mark, which they announced back in December. So, the company has really been taking some significant strides through this, what they call their energy forward strategy. And basically, they've adopted the concept of decarbonizing with gusto, I would say. I mean, this is a bold plan, and assuming it's approved by the Public Utilities Commission, which I expect it probably will be, possibly with a couple minor modifications, and if they can implement it, you got to give credit to Minnesota Power for what they're talking about here. Now, there are going to be repercussions or certainly implications of this, and they do kind of lay that out. You know, as part of this, they plan to add an additional 400 megawatts of wind and solar power to their current portfolio. They'll also be retiring the Boswell Energy Center's Unit 3 by 2030. So that's certainly going to have implications over there on the west end of the range. They're also planning to transform Boswell's Unit 4 to be coal-free by 2035. That's probably going to entail switching to natural gas, which is obviously less carbon-intensive than coal. I know they've taken some grief from some environmental groups who are urging an alternative to natural gas as well. It remains to be seen what the Public Utilities Commission decides there. And they also are going to be investing in a modern, flexible transmission and distribution grid, they say. And they admit that some of these, in order to reach this goal, there are going to have to be technological improvements, which they say that they're sort of relying on. And these are technological improvements that don't exist currently, but that they anticipate will be developed over the next, you know, couple, two, three decades. And, you know, certainly that's likely when you look at the progress that's been made in so many fronts on alternative energy in recent years. It's certainly realistic to think that there are going to be other developments that are going to allow the company to meet these objectives. So anyway, it's an interesting plan that they're going to be proposing, and a final decision on that is expected later this year.
Maybe next week we can talk a little bit more about some of the news that came out about copper nickel mining from the state legislature this week. You can fill us in. I suspect that's a story you'll be covering.
Yes, that certainly will be. All right. I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay, sounds great. That's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read, see more, support the paper at timberjay.com. Marshall, have a great weekend. We'll check in next week.
Thanks, Heidi. Talk to you then. Devuélveme la niña, mi niña. Ponte mi latita, ¿ok?